Great to be with you today. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share just a few words with you. I tried to remember the one time that I preached at Eastside Baptist Church. I don't remember when it was. I know I preached here one time. I can't even remember if it was in the old building or the new building, but it was a long time ago anyway. Or it could have been last week. You know how your memory gets when you... But anyway, I am glad to be here with you, and I appreciate the opportunity just to come and share a few words with you. Now, I know that you've been listening to Lee Powell. Lee and I are friends. We actually live just a few miles away from each other over there. We live in the city of Coolidge. He lives outside of Coolidge, and we've known each other for a long time. I went last week to get a cone of ice over there, and I was just catching up with Lee, and I said, "What you been doing?" He said, "Well, I've been preaching over at Eastside." I said, "Well, that's where I'm supposed to be this next, you know, next week." Or what they do, already run you off or something? He said, "No." And so he's told me he's in Oklotny for the next couple of weeks, two or three weeks. And but I am glad to have the opportunity to preach for you. I know that you've been hearing some good preaching from Brother Lee, and I hope and pray today that the Lord blesses you with this message. How many of you were glad to be done with 2020? I mean, it was quite a year, wasn't it? It was like nothing I've ever experienced before. I mean, that's the truth. You hardly ever get to say that and really mean it, but that's the truth. 2020 was like nothing I've ever experienced before. Sometimes I wish we could just forget that it ever happened. I remember people saying, you know, "I just want to be over and done with it. I wish we could just let it kind of dissolve into the past and never have to deal with it again." But the problem with that is just because the calendar changed, some things haven't, have they? I mean, we still have the virus. We still have the racial unrest across our country. We still have the political upheaval and the nastiness. We have, now we're getting hacked. On either side, we had a gas shortage for just a few days, although I think it was pretty much hyped up. But now we're going to have some kind of meat shortage, so you better go on and buy all the meat you need. I told one of my friends that looks at me cross-eyed when I tell her that I deer hunt, and I told her the other day, I said, "That deer hunting sounds pretty good, doesn't it, right now? That meat shortage coming up." Sometimes when we look at all around us and we look at all the bad things that happened in 2020, it's easy to forget that there were some good things that happened. There were some blessings in 2020, and there are some blessings in 2021. In the middle of all of it, God has continued to be faithful. So I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to think about what God did in 2020, what God's doing in 2021. The psalmist in Psalm 71:11 says, "I will remember the works of the Lord." And so that's what I want to ask you to do today. Remember the works of the Lord. Now, if there's one word that best describes 2020, it would be the word interruption. 2020 was one interruption after another, wasn't it? I mean, I've heard so many people say, "I'm so tired of this. I'm over this. I just don't want to talk about it anymore." Well, throughout the Bible, God frequently tells his people to remember. Remember because he wants us not just to remember the good times and the great times and the times of blessing, but he also wants us to remember the difficult times that we walk through sometimes and remember God's faithfulness through it all. So think about this morning. All those things that we experienced in 2020 and even now some of the interruptions that we're experiencing in 2021, could they maybe be, in fact, amazing interruptions? Do you think of all, in the middle of all the interruptions that we've experienced and all the disruption we've been about, God just might be doing something good? I mean, what if God's trying to do something through all this? What if God's trying to teach us some things through all this? What if in the middle of these interruptions there are God moments that maybe we're missing out on? Instead of thinking about how these interruptions are stopping some things, maybe how about thinking about how they actually may have moved us forward in our faith? What if what seems to be so bad turns out to be amazing? What if all these interruptions are actually God allowing us to hit the pause button for a moment and find a new faith or a new level of faith in Him? You know, in the Bible, there's a good picture of this. In Luke chapter 10, it's a story of two ladies, Martha and Mary. And it's a familiar story to most of us. We probably read the story many, many times. It's a story of interruptions and how it's easy in the middle of interruptions to forget God sometimes. You know, we get worried about our health. We get worried about our finances. We're worried about our job. We're worried about our family. We're worried about our country. We're worried for our personal safety. Those things can so dominate our thinking sometimes that we can forget God when in fact we need Him more than ever. In Luke chapter 10, Martha and Mary are a contrast in how we respond to interruptions. See, Martha and Mary help us to see that we're really one or the other. We are Martha and Mary, one or the other. Both of them had good traits. Both of them were good women, but one missed the beauty of the moment. And I want to read, starting with Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, most of the time, when we look at this scripture, we focus on Mary. But I want you to see that both of these ladies in this story had a disruption in their life. And God wanted to use it to do something big for each one of them. In verse 28, it makes it clear that Martha opened her home to Jesus. She invited Him in. He didn't come busting in unexpected. I have no doubt that she knew who Jesus was. She knew, she had heard about Him. She might have even been around Him or experienced being close to Him. Most likely, Martha was a widow. She had probably seen some hard times, some difficult times in her life. And it was probably an honor for her to open her home to Jesus and say, "Jesus, come on in." But what she didn't realize when she did that, what she didn't realize maybe, is that when she invited Jesus into her home, she was inviting an interruption. Just like we would do. If Jesus comes into my house, if Jesus comes into my heart, listen to me, everything changes. Everything gets interrupted. Everything gets turned upside down. And this is the first point this morning. It was an invited interruption. It was an invited interruption. Martha invited Him in. And you see, most of the time, we do what Martha did on two levels. First of all, Martha invited Jesus into her home. He was coming through town. He needed somewhere to rest, and she had a place where He could rest, and she said, "Come on in. Come on in, Jesus." Most of us have done that same thing. Maybe as a child, or as a teenager, as a young adult, as an older adult, we have invited Jesus into our lives. We've been saved by faith. But at the same time, if we really get honest with each other, we really want Jesus to come in, but we really want Jesus to kind of come in and hang out with us and kind of do the things that we're doing and kind of be around us and help us out when we need help. Hello? Martha invited Jesus in, but after He came in, what was she doing? She was still busy doing all the stuff, wasn't she? I mean, she was still busy getting the groceries together, getting the food sorted out. She was still busy cleaning the house. She still had things in her life that she couldn't let go of. Does that sound familiar to you? Think about this. How many times have you been desperate for Jesus? Lord, I need you. Come on in. Lord, help me. Lord, help me do this. Help me do that. But you know, most of the time we really just want God to kind of come in and walk along with us. I mean, we really want him to just come along and be a part of what we're doing. Hey, Jesus, I need you, but why, you know, come on in here and hang out with me and go where I'm going. See, Lord, here's my plan, and this is where I'm headed, and I need you to help me get there. And Martha was like that. She wanted Jesus in her home, but she had a plan. And when he came in, she was still doing what she was doing. She was still doing her thing. But then Mary, look at Mary. When Jesus came in, what happened to her? She stopped what she was doing, didn't she? She stopped what she was doing and she turned her attention to Jesus. I mean, Mary should have been just as busy as Martha. She had things to do in preparing for Jesus' arrival. But when he arrived, she just stopped what she was doing because she wanted to be in the presence of Jesus and she wanted to hear from the Savior. You see, more important than taking care of her things, she wanted to hear and listen to Jesus. See, when Jesus comes into a home, when Jesus comes into a business, when Jesus comes into your heart, everything changes, doesn't it? I mean, priorities are shifted. That's the way it's supposed to be. A lot of things become unimportant, and Jesus becomes the focus. There was an invited interruption. I mean, one of the hardest things in the world is to say, Jesus, come in. Jesus, come into my home. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my schedule. Jesus, come into my finances. Jesus, come into my routine. Not just, Lord, not just save me, but Lord, be my one focus. Jesus first and everything else aligned under his will. I mean, we need to have the faith to ask Jesus into our hearts and into our homes. We need to go further than that and ask him to even disrupt things in our hearts and in our homes, if that's his will. I mean, we never had any idea that 2020 would be like it was. All the disruptions. I mean, be honest with you, we like our routines, don't we? I mean, we like things the way they are. I'll be honest. I don't like change that much. I used to like change a lot. I don't know what's gotten into me. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I look around me and I think the whole world's gone crazy. Why can't we just go back like it was in the good old days? But you know, when you start thinking about those good old days, they really weren't as good as we make them up to be sometimes. But we like our routines. We want God to come along and bless what we're already doing most of the time. Really, if we're honest with ourselves, that's what we really want. We want to say, God, come bless what we're doing, what we're comfortable with, what we think fits us. God, come along and help us along in that. When all of us need to say, God, come into my home, come into my heart and disrupt everything. If you need to. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want what you want, Lord. Show me what it is you want. That's what I want. Now look in verse 29. Martha's sister, Mary, it says she sat at the Lord's feet. Listen to what he said. I mean, by the way, this is Martha's home. Mary's just living there. Mary should have been carrying her part of the load. There, in fact, because it wasn't her home, she might have been responsible for more of the chores, more of the getting ready for Jesus to be there than Martha was. But she stopped everything and she sat down at the feet of Jesus. Now, they weren't chit-chatting, Mary and Jesus. They weren't just having a general conversation. Jesus was teaching her and she was listening. And this is the second point. There was uninterrupted listening going on. Uninterrupted listening. In the middle of all the business of trying to get ready to feed Jesus and provide for him, all the hustle and bustle of Martha, Mary just sat down at the feet of Jesus and listened. You know, that's the way real faith works. I mean, in the middle of all the craziness and all the madness and all the sinfulness we live every day, just take time just to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. You know, most time we think the most faith-living thing that we can do is to do something. That's what we think about. Do something. I got to do something. I'm gonna do something for Jesus. But we live our faith out most of the time by not doing, but by willing to stop and listen to Jesus by being with Jesus. You know, this is interesting because Mary didn't notice that Martha was still doing her thing at all. But Martha noticed that Mary wasn't doing anything. Mary's so focused on Jesus, she's not thinking about Martha, but Martha's getting upset with Mary. And I love this because she comes to the Lord and she says, "Lord, tell her to help me." I mean, this is pretty cool because I believe other people notice when we have been sitting with Jesus. Did you know that? I mean, she knew Mary was, she was watching Mary. She noticed that Mary was spending time with Jesus. And I think people notice when we're spending time with Jesus. In fact, I think that's the way it ought to be. There's always that one person that when everything is going sideways and crazy, you can just look at them sometimes, you know, that kind of person, and Jesus is just all over them. I believe that's what God wants for us. That was Mary. God intends, I believe, that other people will see us at the feet of Jesus. Martha saw Mary, but Martha wasn't able to put things on pause. She had to keep on doing the things she was doing, just like we can't sometimes. We can't put everything on. We can't just lock ourselves out. We can't just slow ourselves down to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, Martha wasn't doing anything bad. I mean, she was a good person. She wasn't doing anything unnecessary. There were preparations that needed to be made for Jesus to be there. If you look in verse 40, it says, she came to him and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." You know what she's really saying here? She's saying, "Jesus, this is really your fault." I mean, if you hadn't come, brought all these disciples, whoever started traveling with, I don't know how many people there were, but if you hadn't come in here, you know, it's your fault. I wouldn't have all this work to do, and I'm all doing all this work now by myself. Just tell her to help me. And Jesus said in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, the Lord answered you, you're worried and upset about many things." Martha had invited him in. She wanted to do good things. She wanted to minister to Jesus. But in focusing on that, she was missing the greatest opportunity she'd ever have. Because, see, more than Jesus needing her, she needed Jesus. And more than her serving Jesus, Jesus was there to serve her. She needed to spend time with Jesus. And this is the third point, is that Martha needed to interrupt the distractions. She needed to provide her own interruption. You know, sometimes we have to be willing to interrupt what we've been doing, to disrupt what we expect, what is normal around us. But sometimes it's just to say no to those things that distract us from spending time with God. I think this is really neat because she interrupts Jesus. She just walks in and interrupts him. He's in the middle of teaching. She just walks in and interrupts him. She's so distracted by the thought that what she was doing was so important that she walks in where Jesus is teaching and she interrupts him. "Hey, will you tell her to get up and come and help me?" I got to believe there was a day later when she thought, I must have been out of my mind. I mean, I got to be that there were times she told this story to people, you know, and she said, I got so tied up in my own stuff that I missed the teaching of Jesus in my own house. And on top of that, I went in there and I interrupted him like I was somebody big and bad. I interrupted Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. I interrupted him and told him to tell Mary to help me. I don't know about you, but I would never do that, would I? We do it all the time. We invite Jesus into our lives. We invite Jesus into our homes. We invite Jesus into our businesses. We invite Jesus into our country. And we say we want to hear from him, but then we end up getting all consumed in all of our own stuff. There are these distractions that constantly interrupt when God wants to speak to us and how God wants to speak to us and how God wants to use us. There are those things that we can't let go of long enough to hear Jesus speak and to understand what he wants to teach us. Somebody said, distractions are the enemy of listening. And I know very well that the devil uses every kind of distraction he can in the world to keep you from hearing what Jesus wants to say to you. Because here Martha's focus was on getting ready to serve Jesus and what distracted her. It doesn't have to be, and that's what distracted her, that preparation, that's what distracted her. It doesn't have to be something bad that distracts you. It can be something good that distracts you, keeps you from hearing what God wants you to hear. And see, Jesus here, he didn't even get on Martha's case. I mean, he understood what Martha was going through. She just needed to wait till all that stuff could all wait till later. She just needed to wait and do that later on. Right now, she just needed to come like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. Look at it in verse 41. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, if you look at those words, when he says, "Martha, Martha," that shows the tenderness that Jesus had for her. There's one thing you need to focus on right now, is what he was telling her. There's one thing, Martha, you need to focus on right now. He pushed her past those things that were distracting her. He said, you can go back to those things later on. But right now, this moment with me, this is where you need to be. This was an amazing interruption. Martha had so many things that were bothering her. Jesus zeroed in on that. He said, there's one thing you're missing. Just stop and be still and listen. You know, sometimes we're right there, aren't we? I mean, Jesus has come to us and we're so busy being busy. We're so busy doing all the things. We got all these things bothering us and all these things that we're doing and all the hurt we carry with us sometimes that we miss the chance to hear Jesus say, why don't you just come and sit at my feet for just a little while and hear me? What was that one thing that was most important he's talking about? Here it is. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. One of the hardest things to do is listen, isn't it? I mean, it's more harder than ever now because I need hearing aids, but I've got selective hearing too. That's the thing men get. They get selective hearing. Sometimes one of the hardest things to do is listen. Sometimes one of the hardest people to listen to is God. Because I want to say, God, here's what I think. God, I got a problem, and I'm in the middle of the problem. Lord, I just want you to come here and get me out of it. Or, Lord, this is the direction I'm going. Lord, I want you to help me get there. Lord, here's what I think needs to happen. I want you to come help me make it happen. And God just sometimes, I know, just wants to say, Mike, would you just hush for a minute? Just be quiet, sit down, and listen. Mary did that, and that's where Jesus wanted to move Martha to. That's where Jesus wants to move me to, and that's where Jesus wants to move you to. When Martha invited Jesus into her home, she was inviting an interruption, but she just didn't realize it. Here in her own home was Jesus who came for more than food and it's a place to sleep, to be served. In fact, Jesus said, you know, in Scripture, I come to serve. Jesus wanted to teach Martha to serve her and Mary in that way. You see, when Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened, all the things that worried her didn't worry her anymore. So I want to ask you this morning, what is it that worries you the most? What is it that keeps you distracted from being who God wants you to be? But more than that, who are you listening to? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary was and listening to him? Or are you letting all the other stuff that's going on in your life dominate, where you can't hardly hear God at all? And I want to ask you, in the middle of all this stuff that we're going through, and we've been through, have you missed or are you missing an amazing interruption? Is God in some way asking you to hit the pause button for just a moment and spend some time with him and hear from him? Some of you know, and maybe just through Facebook, and some of you got some extended family here, but some of you know that God led me and Kathy to relocate to Toccoa, Georgia during the school year to help with a grandson. We live in Coolidge. We still live in Coolidge. I've been told that I've moved out of Coolidge several different times and left. But we still live in the same place in Coolidge, but we go during the school year to North Georgia, to Toccoa. We have a camper set up there in an RV park right outside of town. And that's where we go to help with our four-year-old grandson now, Jacob. When Jacob was born, he had a brother who was 10. He had a sister who was 12. When our son Michael and his wife Kimberly came home to tell us, well, we were all together at Christmas, and on Christmas Day in 2016, they said, we need to tell y'all something else. After we'd opened up all the presents and everything was done, they said, we need to tell y'all something, and we said, we're going to have another baby. And my first reaction was, are you out of your mind? That wasn't just my reaction. I didn't say it to myself. I said that to them. That was my first words out of my mouth. I looked at them, I said, are you out of your mind? I mean, you've already got two children. You got one that's 12 and one that's 10. And Matthew, our other son, is married to his wife, Christina. They each have a son and a daughter. So each one of them had a girl and a boy. I mean, you couldn't have ever asked for anything better. We were done. We had already sold all the plaque and plays and gave them all away. We didn't have any high chairs. We didn't have any car seats. I mean, you need a car seat for every vehicle you got. And so, I talked to them about that. Life was perfect. I thought it was. And then Jacob showed up. And we prayed about going to Toccoa to help. Michael is the principal at the high school in Stevens County High School. And Kimley, his wife, is a counselor at the middle school. And they were going to have somebody take care of them. So we started thinking, well, who needs to take care of them? Why don't we just go up there and take care of them? And the Lord just really led us to do that. He showed us that this is something that we could do. And I know some people talk to us and said, I can't believe y'all are doing that. I mean, I know to some folks it seems like, man, it's just a waste of time. You're going to go up there and spend all that time just taking care of one. Can't they find somebody to babysit that youngin' up there in Toccoa? Do they need y'all to move up there and have to park your camper in an RV park where it's going to cost you? Do you have to do that? It has interrupted everything in our life. Everything changed once we started going to Toccoa for the school year. But we get more out of that little boy than we could ever imagine. He'll look at me every day and he'll say, Papa, you're my best friend in the whole world. And I tell him that every day. Jacob, you are my best friend in the whole world. And we've gotten to the point now where after a couple years where we can say, and Kathy is our other best friend. We like Grandma too. We like KK. They call her KK. We like KK too. But here's the truth in all that. We could have been so busy, because we stay busy all the time. We could have been so busy doing good things that we missed this opportunity that God wanted us to take, to hear him speak and send us on an amazing interruption. We all need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. And if you listen to Jesus, whatever he does in your life, it may interrupt everything. Sometimes it needs to. But I guarantee you it will be an amazing interruption. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. God, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share from your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for through the years of being able to sit under good preachers and hear them speak and go away knowing, Lord, golly, that blessed my heart today. So I pray today that somebody was blessed by what was said. That, God, that it came not from my lips, but, Lord, that it came from you through me. And through the powerful presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you've touched people's hearts maybe at different points in this message to where they need to hear, Lord, what you have to say. We get so tied up so many times, Lord, in us, in the things that we do, in the things that we want to see happen. We get so tied up in our work or our things going on in the country. We get so tied up in politics and the economy and all those things, Lord, that we really sometimes can lose sight of you. Lord, help this to be a time today, Lord, where we just sit for a moment and listen to you. Where we ask you, Lord, and invite you in, Lord, come in into my life and disrupt everything. Lord, if that's what needs to happen, disrupt everything. God, I've often prayed that for this country. I pray, Lord, if you want to draw this country back, just, Lord, if you have to, tear it apart. I know that sounds crazy. But God, anything you tear apart, you can put back together. Anything you disrupt, you can set right again. Anything, Lord, you want to change, you can only make it better. So God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, individually, and even in this church as it seeks a pastor. Help it to be able, Lord, to quiet down and in the midst of trying to look for somebody and find the right person, all those things. Help them, Lord, mostly to listen to you, to follow your lead. And God, I know that if we'll do that, if we'll invite you into our home, if we'll invite you into our businesses, if we'll invite you into our church, Lord, if we'll invite you into everything we're doing, Lord, when you interrupt us, we will be blessed. There may be somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There may be somebody here today who needs to do some personal business with you. Maybe it's been a long time since they've gotten quiet enough to hear you speak. There may be somebody here who wants to come and join this church. Lord, we just ask you to bless this invitation as we surrender all to you. God, that's what it's about. It's about surrender. About giving up. Well, we pray today that you would help us to surrender all to you, to hear you speak in our lives every day. Not just every once in a while, Lord, but every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand together.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Surrender.
right. Isn't it good to be in God's house worshiping together? Y'all can have a seat. We're going to close a little bit different this morning. We know that this evening, Vacation Bible School starts. If you think back, I'm sure every one of you've got some incredible, fond memories of Vacation Bible School. It is great opportunities to love on children, share God's love with them. I know for me personally, Vacation Bible School was how God reached my family growing up. I did not give my heart to Christ at Vacation Bible School, but I know when I was younger, I went to Vacation Bible School with some friends and family, and it opened the opportunity and the door for the pastor of that church and all to reach out to my parents, who through that reaching out made a profession of faith, which eventually led to my faith, me giving my heart to Christ. And it all goes back to Vacation Bible School. It's been around a few years. But we have it. We're starting it this afternoon. We want to ask that you commit to praying every single day for Vacation Bible School. This year we pushed really hard to have pre-registration done online. I was looking at it this morning. There's a lot of names. I have no idea who they are. They're from the community and from the schools. We have the opportunity to reach Cairo through Vacation Bible School. So I want to challenge you to pray for our teachers and our leaders and everyone that's having a part in Vacation Bible School, and pray for everyone that's attending as well. Pray that their hearts be soft and receptive, and that our leaders show and teach God's love and Jesus Christ to every one of them. So we're going to close this morning praying for Vacation Bible School. I mentioned it to our director. Has she made it back in here? And I hadn't told anyone else. We're going to ask everyone that is helping, that's leading, whatever you're doing, to come to the front. If you're having anything to do with Vacation Bible School, we're going to pray for you this morning as our closing. So everyone that's part of Vacation Bible School, y'all come join me. You're going to see it takes a lot of people to make it happen. We want to pray over every one of these as we start Vacation Bible School this evening. And as they're coming up, let me tell you this for you. Today at 5, if you can make it, we're going to meet in the fellowship hall and we're going to pray together at 5 today. We start at 5:30 with the meal, but we're going to have a prayer time together with us this evening at 5 if you can make it, okay? Have we got some more? Have we got everybody? Here they come. We got our balcony folks coming down. You see what I'm saying? It takes a lot of people to make Vacation Bible School happen. A lot of work, a lot of hard work. You're going to be tired, but God's going to bless. All right? All right, let's pray together, and I'm going to ask you to pray for everyone that's up here. Here we go. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for the opportunity you have given us, Father, to represent you, to love like you, to impact our community, Father, through Vacation Bible School. I pray and I thank you, Father, so much for everyone that's standing up here. We just pray, Father, that you give them wisdom, and more importantly, Father, give them strength this week. It's going to be tiring. It's going to be testing. But we know through all of that, Father, you can be glorified. And I just pray, Father, through all the everything that's done, that we just make you known. We share Jesus. We share his love. Father, this is one of the great opportunities we have of reaching Cairo and Grady County. And we just pray, Father, that when it's said and done, we can look back on Vacation Bible School. And it's nothing that any one of us have done. We can say it was God who showed up and made a difference. We just pray that you bless, begin preparing hearts even now. In Christ's name, amen. Thank y'all. Let's go to lunch. Who's treating?